call number and colleague, let's be orderly now and allow the department to continue with the presentation. And CFO, I will talk to the role now. Is everything in order? Honourable members, do you all have copies now of that presentation? What page is that one?
24.
Yeah, it's supposed to be that one. Page, what? Page?
24.
Oh, you have me that number. Oh, 25, man. Vote expenditure is at 31st March 2014. That's where we are. Okay. Now, CFO and HOD Agamola. Let's make our instructions very clear. All the documents that you are going to present to the honorable members, better have the documents distributed to the member and through the chair yourself indicate which document you're speaking to. Whether we're going to see figures there, we're going to deal with a narrative, because it will allow for an informed narrative and contribution. And by the way, recommendations. In this instance, we must make recommendations about the budget of the department, per program, the whole total. So we don't want to miss anything and make, members may make a recommendation that is actually is not informed by some of these figures. That's one other thing. It's not even in your interest. Not in our interest. And that's not discussed. And what you're going forward, the quality and the witness of our name. Over to you, CFO.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Deputy Minister. The presentation that we want to share with the honorable members is with the budget. First slide, which is on page 25, want to share with honorable members the outcome of the budget for 2013-14 financial year. We'll present the detailed outcome in the quarterly report, annual report, as well as when we table our annual financial statement as well as towards October in terms of the process. We have received an adjustment appropriation of 5,754,000,000 after the adjustment estimate. The spending that we recorded for the year is 5,871,630,000, which resulted in an unauthorized expenditure of 116,984,000, which represents more than 2% of the budget. The spending of the unauthorized expenditure is a result of mainly Program 2, which is our international relations, where our bilateral relations are conducted, as well as the international transfer, where we honor our transfer agreement to the international organization that South Africa is a member, which is the UN, the AU, and SADC, as well as the Commonwealth. These are the huge transfer agreements that we made. As well as the, in terms of protocol, we also facilitated the state funeral in terms of the protocol that we provide to the visiting homes as of state in such an event. So we didn't receive any additional allocation for that, as the event was unfortunate and unforeseen, which we had to facilitate in terms of that process. So the administration, which the acting DG has alluded to, the allocation for that was 1,327,802,000, which then we have a saving under that, which has come to 53 million. So the 53 million was basically earmarked for our properties abroad, as we are responsible for the foreign properties in terms of construction of Chancery, which is our official building abroad, as well as accommodation. position for heads of mission in the form of official residence. So the that is the unspent money. The international relations, the unauthorized expenditure that we recorded at the end of the day was 132 million, which is attributed to the foreign exchange rate losses. So after the conclusion of the adjustment estimate, the rand in terms of the performance in the market worsened in terms of the appreciation of the US dollar, the euro, as well as the British pound, which we then spend money on that, which is committed in terms of the lease agreement that we conclude as a department for the housing of our embassies, missions, consul general, as well as the staff that we accommodate a transfer official. The treatment of that, we have an arrangement with National Treasury. Before the beginning of the financial year, we agreed on a foreign exchange rate that we should use in terms of the accounting of our expenditure in missions. So unfortunately, the exchange rate that was used in the that we've agreed was based on the fact that the rand will then appreciate going forward. But unfortunately, as you can see, the market is not favorable as we speak now. To say the amount that we've budgeted was basically 9.50, but we spent on average 10.92 per dollar. So those are the issues that we want to indicate. So this is unauthorized expenditure in terms of the PFMA, but in the manner that we have incurred in terms of the commitment that we've made, we have to honor those commitments in terms of the reputation that we then the department projects in terms of where South Africa is standing. If we fail to honor the commitments that we've made, we'll have challenges in terms of going forward. Also concluding other agreements with other landlords in terms of inability to fulfill our engagement. So this will be reflected as the unauthorized expenditure within the financial year 2013-14 financial year. So just to indicate to all of you members that in the past we've been receiving unqualified audit reports based on the work that we've been doing here. And the challenges that we have is basically compliance issues for us to move to the next level, which is basically the clean audit report, which is the department is driving for achieving that in terms of the process. So the next page, which is 26, is basically to give the detailed explanation that I've talked about in terms of how the programs perform. We talk about program one, which is page 26, which indicates in terms of the huge budget that we pay there in terms of our head office campus. We have entered in a CCC arrangement, which we service that on a monthly basis in terms of the agreement that we signed, and also for the provision for the inflationary adjustment in terms of the services that we render in support of the land function. So program two, international relations that have alluded in terms of the unauthorized expansion that has exceeded the sub program as a result of foreign exchange rate movement. Program three, this is the area where we conduct our cooperation in terms of the work that we do in the UN, the UN Council, as well as in Geneva in terms of the human rights issues that we discussed there, as well as the AU in terms of the program which we support and Nepal's initiative in terms of the program that we do around that. And the program four already was talking about that the main area that we provide state protocol services, which is we highlighted that we then facilitated the protocol services during the state funeral. We had in plans in terms of them to receive around about 50 heads of state from abroad, but we ended up with 102 heads of state that we had to provide protocol services in terms of that. But there was a committee that explained in terms of how we facilitate, but unfortunately there was no additional funds allocated to the department. The public diplomats in terms of the media branding that provides analytics program in terms of the work that we do locally and abroad in terms of supporting our mission. So program five, international transfer, which we then had challenges, because in terms of honoring our commitment, the payment to the UN membership and AU is done in the last quarter of the financial year, based on the assessment that we received in terms of the budget that is August they approved. For the AU, as a South Africa, we contribute 15% of the budget of the AU. So there are around about 5 countries that contribute. So the summit that takes place in July, they approve the budget for the year, and we need to honor that in full. So if we don't honor, it means that we don't encourage good practices within the continent, because there are a lot of countries that are not able to honor their commitments on time, which then creates a challenge, because we, the countries within the continent, they also receive pledges which they are never honored in terms of the budget report. So those are the areas that we wanted to highlight in terms of the spending for 2014 financial year. But at the end of the financial year, we then recorded a loss in terms of what we expect. Honorable members, the page 28, it gives us the breakdown of the proposed budget allocation for 2014 to 2016-17, which is basically an allocation over the MTF period. We have taken this extract from our ENE judgment that we have prepared for tabling in terms of the budget. What we can share with the honorable members is that in terms of the budget, the allocation, we have received a steady decline in terms of the nominal amount, in terms of what we expected to do. The allocation that we have received, as I indicated, is an element of foreign exchange rate movement. Currently, the department doesn't have any instrument in terms of managing the foreign exchange rate volatility. So the function rests with National Treasury in terms of that process. So we have made arrangements with the Reserve Bank in terms of how we buy currency. But that process is not helping us in terms of us achieving our goal, because it compromises the department in achieving its targets. Because the allocation that we then allocate to the mission, we allocate using the foreign currency where they are located in terms of how they need to spend. So if now we don't have that reserve, which we then engage to treasury, we should have a contingency reserve so that we can mitigate when there is upward movement. Because when the rent increases, the arrangement with treasury is that we then return the savings to them. So unfortunately, when we have a loss, it is the responsibility of the department that we must account why we were not able to take the necessary measures to contain the expenditure within that budget. So those are the main challenges that we have within the international sphere that we operate as a department. Then the budget that we want to indicate is that in terms of the proposed budget for the 2014-15 is 5,754,324,000, which is the proposed budget, which will then indicate how it is allocated in terms of the programs. The 600,033,915,000, this is basically for the 2015-16 indicative baseline, and for 2016-17, the indicative baseline is 6,410,666,000. So the increase in terms of the goal that we have in front of us is hard to analyze to see. Program one, there is a growth of 5.7%. Program two, there's a growth of 1.5%. And program three is a growth of 6%, and program four is 24%. I will talk to that increase, and program five is the decline in terms of a growth of 21%. This is basically the nominal amount in terms of how the allocation has been presented. So when we look in terms of this allocation, the public diplomacy and state protocol, the increase is basically the amount allocated for hosting the presidential inauguration in terms of the protocol services that we provide, which is amount to 80 million. So that is the amount that is now looking to say there's a huge injection in that allocation. Health in 2015, 16, that amount is no longer there. In terms of the transfer payment, there is an amount that is allocated for the transfer to the African Development Fund, which is a public entity within the department, and that amount was then reduced. So they identified cost saving measures, and the 80 million that was allocated under program 4 was then reprioritized from program 5 in terms of the funding of the ARM. So the ARM over the MTF period is a reduction of around about 500 million in terms of the funding that we have received in terms of the MTF process. So the allocation that we are presenting here clearly doesn't take into account the market forces in terms of the commitment that we have made, in terms of the obligation that we need to pay in income, as well as the cost of living allowance that we pay to our transfer officials, as well as the locally represented personnel that supports the issue. So there are inflation in terms of the country that they are created comes into effect. So we need to match that in terms of the other condition that we can pay a salary which is less than the minimum wage of that particular country. So we need to maintain this standard in terms of the allocation. So we don't have a separate system in terms of framework on how to manage that as in terms of a dispensation. So we have to then comply with the local regulations in terms of appointment as well as termination. Like in terms of the retirement age, we have to work within the ambit of the country. The current trend in Australia, we are also increasing the retirement age to 70, to see that the staff that are employed in our mission in Australia, Canberra, they have to then follow the trend. So we can't begin to do that if we don't have any legislative arrangement that can give effect. So this is the allocation that we are proposing members in terms of the allocation. Then with the next slide, 29, it gives a breakdown per economic classification. Where are we spending money on? So in terms of the compensation of employees, this is the one of the highest cost drivers in our department, because we pay locally recruited staff that are not necessarily part of any workforce within the government. We also pay the cost of living allowance to the transfer officials in terms of keeping their standard of living, maintaining their standard of living in the country that they are posted. So those are the issues in terms of the foreign service dispensation, which is managed through the Department of Public Service Administration and is bargained in that electoral council, which is the Public Service Bargaining Council, which we are not necessarily taking a lead. We are a member in that process. And the other element that we want to indicate, the goods and services is one of the higher cost driver. But as I indicated, still when we go down in terms of the baseline assessment stage, we then have obligatory expenses that are aligned to our operations in mission. Those who are servicing 125 missions, it means in each and every country we need to have office accommodation. So in terms of that office accommodation, it comes in the continent is where we experience a lot of challenges, because the question of demand and supply comes into play. Because we signed this agreement for maximum 5 years. So after 5 years, then we have to go back into negotiation. When we negotiate, we will always find ourselves in a compromising position, because there will be more interested parties in the property that we will occupy, because we have then put it in a position where it's able to meet the business requirements. And most of the areas that we are located currently are more of residential areas, because we are the last entrance in the diplomatic arena in terms of that we only came in 1994, while the other missions that have been there for a long time, and we are challenged in terms of taking value for money. So we will propose how we want to move forward in terms of mitigating such risk. The transfer payments are also indicated to So these are the memberships that we pay based on South Africa being a member. So they are more of an assessment contribution. If there's a peacekeeping mission that is sanctioned by the UN, we then need to pay our pro rata or our assessment contribution to the bigger budget that we have to own. And for that, if we don't own our membership, we won't be able to have a voting right. So we won't even have any means to participate in that discussion or in that forum. So we have, our strategic focus is to be a UN Security Council permanent member. We want to see the reform of the UN, the Bretton Woods institution in terms of that. So we need to then honor our membership on time and in full, so that we then become, so that we can have the voice in terms of that. Within the budget, we have a small budget that we regard it as small in terms of the capital budget. We have a budget of around about 207 million for the property support. But the budget that we're currently using is to maintain our current state-owned property. So the majority of them, which we have done in the transfers over in 1994, they are more than 60 years, and they require major renovation. In terms of that part, we spend a lot of money in renovating that, because they are in a strategic location, we can't be able to dispose those properties. So those are the areas that we want to indicate. So overall, in terms of page 30, we just give an assessment to say how the budget in terms of the MTS allocation prevents in terms of the growth. But as I indicated, that the picture is that we don't see the growth in real time. So the growth that we see is basically on nominal terms in terms of the figures. But the picture that we are painting is that we don't have enough funding, which the slide on page 31 will then give that analysis to say the assessment that we have done, to say we have an indicative baseline of 5,754,374,000, which then we say, in terms of the allocation, what does it cater? So the first allocation goes to the African Renaissance Fund in terms of the recapitalization, which is 227,560,000. Then the budget that is remaining for the department comes to 5,476,764,000. So there has been indicated that the high cost driver, we got compensation of employees, because people are in the establishment. If we then release them, it means that we need to set the cost of the price. And also the goods and services, as we indicated, the obligatory expenditure with regard to the accommodation, with regard to the salary in terms of what we need to provide. And the available budget, which then we then discuss in terms of how we then deal with the issue that will affect the budget. One of the cost drivers, as we are a department that has got a global footprint, which requires that we need to make an investment on our ICT. So our ICT, the last time we redesigned the ICT infrastructure was in 2006, and we were the first department to then move to a voice over IP in terms of the protocol, in terms of where we data converges with voice. So we were one of the models, but over the period we have not done much in terms of how we should refresh that, so that we can really take advantage and also to improve on our security consideration on how we secure our information. So it's one of the areas that we regard as a core function, and one of the challenges that we experience in terms of the procurement, if I can go in detail, was the lengthy process that we used to follow in terms of how we engage with CETA. So we've reached an agreement with CETA on how to fast track that, so that we can be able to take into consideration the issues that are of concern in terms of interception, in terms of the information that we have, that we should not have a ICT system that is vulnerable, where anyone who is a foreign intelligence can easily check to our information without any. So those are the investments that we are putting in together with CETA. and state security agencies on how to improve the security measures around that. Then the available budget, which is now we have said, this is a discretionary expenditure that talks to the APP to say, in terms of the travel that the, our executive conducts, this is the money that comes from the budget. We are talking about 5 billion, 700 million, but the only remaining is less than 700 million to do the operations of the department. We take into account all the additional responsibilities that we need to facilitate as a department. So those are the areas that want to indicate. The next page is 32. That is a pie chart in terms of how the expenditure is allocated. Compensation employees, as we indicated, it takes 41% of the budget. The ELAC fund, 19%. And the goods and services, which include obligatory expenses, takes around about 23%. And the rest is basically the operation, which include our ICT and the maintenance budget that we do for the residents that we occupy in formation. Honorable members, on page 3, we take a note of the Treasury directive in terms of implementing cost containment measures. We understand that the government is also facing challenges because of the current economic conditions, which now the revenue are shrinking, and we then have to manage within the budget. So how do we then look forward to say, how do we minimize the impact of the foreign exchange movement in terms of volatility? So we are investing on this with National Treasury and Reserve Bank to see how best we mitigate the movement of the dollar as well as our operations abroad. So Treasury got an arrangement with Treasury in terms of how we should mitigate that, because we can't do hedging, because we then send wrong message to the market to say that the government is taking insurance in terms of that they are not quite comfortable that the rand will perform well going forward. So we then find a model on how we account for expenditure. If we transfer money through Reserve Bank to our machine, we should be able to use that, because there are various instruments within the financial services that we can use. Currently, we use what we call export rate, which is not secure. So we use that.
Sorry, Gangman. I'm saying low containment. That's the nomenclature that is used in this department. Because for years I've known this to be the cost containment. Across the department is the cost cutting. Well, I know containing is something, but I'm not sure. Containing and containing. It's like expanded public where somebody says expanded.
Honorable Chair, this is the directive that we received from National Treasury to say we are containing the cost so that we then operate within the allocated amount. But we can go back and engage the So that is the only thing that we want to see, because when we look at the figures, the current prevailing rate is that for the MTF period on the foreign exchange, we recover 1.3 billion to be able to then maintain the current baseline. So in order to sustain the current baseline, the figure shows that we require 1.3 billion in terms of the prevailing exchange rate without taking into account any further weakening of the rand going forward. Based on the current exchange rate, we are anticipating that we will require 1.3 billion over the MTF period. For the first year, which is the current rate, we require 440 million in order to then maintain the current without doing anything additional. So that is the challenge that we have. And then we look at to see how do we then deal with the issue of appointment of locally recruited personnel in our mission, taking into account insecurity. So the department has initiated a process where we review our LRP structure and how we staff them. We know that we are challenging. One of the issues was to say, how do we create employment in terms of the position that we have abroad? They are now, in terms of the ratio of the locally recruited personnel, they only have run about transfer staff, which are doing the same functions as the locally recruited personnel who are in other countries. They, like the Britain, they run about 80% of their local doing the work that is normally done through a locally recruited personnel in terms of Vienna Convention. So they are doing that. The Chinese, they are currently doing it here. So in terms of the number of people that they appoint who do the same service, which the category of services that they provide, to start from the driver, to start from housekeeping, which is basically the issue that we are looking at, to see how do you incentivize the officials that we can recruit locally, so that when the heads of mission are appointed, they will be able to take that as a package, which then will have a benefit to the country in terms of increasing the number of people who will be gainfully employed for that period of 4 years. So in terms of arranging the payment, we have done, we have got examples, we've done that in Geneva as well as in Russia. So, but in other cases, as you know, we deal with people who are different. I think we've got one case in Thailand, which I think was in the media. But basically, this is what we encourage you to say, how do you then contribute directly in terms of the employment without necessarily creating a condition. So those are the areas that we're exploring, as well as to say, how do you then find a legislative framework that governs the appointment of local recruited personnel, as well as the age limit, as I indicated earlier. To say in London, they've increased the age limit, as well as in America, there's no specified age limit. We do have somebody who is over the age of 70 who currently works in our mission in Washington. So those are the issues in terms of the risk itself, to say how do we then gauge the issue. We understand the issue of social dependence in terms of the state in the other countries. That's why they look at decreasing the retirement age, because indeed they don't have the youth who can come and able to do the work. So those are the issues that we need to indicate. As I indicated, the ICT is one of the avenues that we are exploring. One of the challenges that we have is in the continuum in terms of the availability of bandwidth. I think in South Africa it's classical case in the areas that are remote, we don't have any connectivity, and we still have challenges in terms of receiving signal for the bandwidth. So we have been using the GSAT technology in the continent, which we also have challenges within the issue of power, which we are also exploring, is how we then mitigate that. So I think the conclusion, we have then approached the Social Treasury to say how do we then translate our lease portfolio into an acquisition strategy in areas that we think will be there for a longer period, and in future we'll be able to receive our return on investment in that area. So the other areas, the Deputy Minister has already alluded them to, the Foreign Service Fund, as well as the Partnership Fund for Development. So thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go back to from the presentation itself, so that we allow members to engage. Honourable members, I want to invite comments and observations. Advocate Bumlwane, you are the most No, just a moment, that's okay, Bumlwane. Honorable Olomisa, you was your head up?
Yes, sir.
After Irene. Thank you. Honorable Olomisa, Honorable Monsa Mine. Mukhalapa. 1.3 billion as a contingency used to go. For this, in terms of the current exchange rate, I don't know if just that question first. Yes, so
no. No, thank you. No, what I'm saying is, based on the allocation that we have, and when we look at the current exchange rate, where it is today, it means that it will require 1.3 billion over the policy year.
Okay.
Just to sustain the current operation.
Yeah, okay. Now, this is why I want to find out. I thought it was small. This is why I'm asking. I thought it would be low. However, if you think that this is what you think is fine, it's fine. That's what I thought when you look at the trend today. So I'm going to be actually going up more than going down. Secondly, I think I want to be sure about what he said on page 34 on the purchase of the acquisition of properties. And I think that will solve the problem because in the long run, it will reduce the current expense, particularly based on foreign currency. Certainty of getting property. There will be South Africa in assuming the 50 years to come, and it is not better than to buy than sell. Why don't you increase the amount of acquisition instead of having you keep on increasing the expense of paying rates for land, for example, instead of it is not better to look around now and make a provision for acquisition of property. You'll still be having a mission, whatever, Czechoslovakia or so, or whatever, somewhere. Then you take an advantage of the property theft. The amount, the price of property is still low now, perhaps, it's not a factor. That you will still be having a mission in Nigeria to fight the Boko Haram and in the new country called Islamic so that is the first thing the second thing I wanted to say. John Thomas has also, there is this question of employment of local content. If I understand, maybe if I'm wrong, don't you pay your South Africans who are abroad in foreign currency? So in other words, they are also foreigners, aren't they? The question of, and the other thing I wanted to find out is there anything that are you bound by the JFMA in your expenditure abroad, particularly in your expenditure abroad? If so, how do you manage to navigate around the problems of inavailability of local suppliers or local communities for that matter. So far, it's what I can remember. You have another bias person in the notes, I think.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bumwan, Honorable Alumni.
That has been covered by that question. That question by I honor.
Okay.
From Lord, I tell that.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just on the
unauthorized expenditure, the 117 million. Does it affect the audit?
No, I'll cut up. The next question was on the level of the plan.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me thank the department. I want to say this, but I, at the risk of sounding controversial, I don't know. I think the department has breached the PFMA, both in terms of overspending and underspending, from pages 26 and 27. I don't know if we can wholly blame the fluctuation of the rate of currency. But I think what we must do, PFO, is to ensure that there is an insulation on the side of Treasury. It has to be a recommendation, but it must be more a matter of Treasury not having a choice in terms of how do they deal with it to avoid the impact that it has as bleeding into other areas of the finances of the department. Because I think that if we are going to find this, we're not in a stable economic environment. And we can't say that there is some kind of inflation. I'm not sure, I raised this earlier, whether there has been maybe some factoring from the side of risk in the department around the issue of the fluctuating currency. But I don't think that it should become a convenient excuse. I'm not saying that it is, but I'm saying at some point it will start to look as if the fluctuating currency is going to affect every other meaningful work that the department is doing because of its PFMA violation. And I think that both from 26 and 27, on both counts, on all counts of all programs, whether it was, you know, a funeral or a state of the nation, whatever the case is, overspending and understanding is still a violation. I think we must be able to take it as seriously as that and to just consider how we... And then what controls, I think I raised that issue. For me, I think the concern that I have is that, look, I understand the vision in terms of trying to spread the footprint in terms of employees, but also in terms of the needs, the ICT needs. But the question I want to raise is that are we having too many huge ambitions? I say this in the context of employees, for example, and I tend to be corrected from the report that we received earlier. What is it, from 349 to 354 employees projected in the next financial year? That's an average of about 5 more employees that are needed. Are we saying that that really is going to be a risk to the department? Can it cost us, whether it is overspending or underspending? I'm just asking, how do we prioritize? I hear the issue of ICT, and I think that it's extremely critical. But I still feel that on the issue that was raised by the Honourable Member earlier, the issue of the assets of the department, be it property, everything we spoke about this as well. The concern must be, is it more feasible if we are going to be renovating buildings? I know this is not a discussion for this committee chair, but I think we should be probing into if it's going to be more feasible to have a 15, to renovate every 15 years or to have a lease that lasts for 5 years. That we don't find ourselves, I think, in a situation, what is it practically, what does it mean? But I'm not saying that, you know, I'm sure that the proper assessment has been done in terms of the asset registry of the department, knowing what is there, what needs to be done, and what needs to be looked into. But I think the concern that I have is, and this I need clarity on, around the recapitalization of the ARF, because once again this issue was raised around the agency, and how are you also resolving the operational inefficiencies within the ARF? Is it not also costing, to a large extent, the department? And how far are you in terms of moving towards the agency? One of the issues that were raised in the presentation earlier this morning was around the 25.2 million that has already been earmarked by Cabinet for the development agency. And I don't see that right to the park. Maybe it's part of the details by the breakdown. But I'm not sure if you have, that was I think 2007, Ms. Malala, if you, the presentation that we saw this morning, it was allocated in some, at some point, cabinet allocated 25 million. So I'm just checking, I think on those few issues. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Honorable Kalapa. So thank you very much, Chair, and apologies for smoke from the area. Chair, I just want to put something up here when it comes to the foreign exchange rate issue. I think in 2009, when the committee first met of the first parliament, we were told about this problem. But look, the context of where we are operating has got a tendency of foreign exchange fluctuations. And we said to the department, when you budget accordingly. In fact, we gave them a leeway that come with a fund, BBB, we can make you, give you an adjustment so that you arrest this problem of having this foreign exchange fluctuation. Now, this year down the line, I find it disturbing that you still facing with this thing. And remember, in 2009, it was when it was the economic downturn. So we understood that because of, you know, the whole economic downturn, there is a problem somewhere. But we said to the department, go and do your projection and give yourself a little bit extra because this will always affect your thing. And I see it still happening here. Secondly is the issue of the compliance issue. And I still remember it was also the issue of the ICT. And it's still remaining the same problem of compliance. We're getting unqualified reports, but with methods of emphasis. And precisely on the issues of compliance. What is the problem there? Why are we not moving with speed? And on the issue of acquisition vis-a-vis leasing, if I recall, we were told that it was cheaper then to lease rather than to acquire property because of, again, the issue of the fluctuations and everything. And then by then, it was the economic downturn. What is the status quo currently? What remains the viable option? And I think it goes to a bigger political decision that needs to be taken. And I think here is where the deputy minister can come in and say, are we overstretching ourselves in terms of this mission that we have? Isn't it time that we review some of the missions, looking at the issues of the budget, looking at the issues of the economic and political, socio-economic status that we have? So it's a dual question. The other one is a political question, and the other one is just a question of practical logistics. What is the fiscal coefficient of acquisition and leasing? And the issue of the unauthorized expenditure, does it affect the audit outcome, or is it going to affect, in fact, the snowball effect of the next audit outcome? And some of these problems are the problems that we're going to be sitting with for the next step, because of, it's not something, when you've got a bad audit report, you don't automatically sort it out in the next audit, it remains. So this unauthorized expenditure for the department always have those adverse findings in the next 2 to 3 years to come. And I just want to find out the public diplomacy. Why is this funding declining? If you look at what you have budgeted for, this you say 317 million and then it goes to 250, then it goes to 265. So what makes it to fluctuate in that sense? That the public diplomacy is declining. And if you look, I mean, one does not need to re-emphasize the importance of public diplomacy. So, and one thing that you've mentioned therefore is that the current budget does not cater for the market reality. I find it strange because in the environment that we operate under, the market dictates. This is why we are saying we've got an issue with the fluctuation of the foreign currency. Now, why does our budget not cater for this market reality? where is the problem? Because of it's very strange that we can say the budget doesn't cater for the market value, yet we are operating in that space. We should be doing better in as far as that is concerned. Let me pause there. And just to get a clarity on the 440 million, you said it's what we need to maintain the current expenditure for this current upcoming financial year. 440.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, as I said, we'd like to appreciate the presentation of the department. And then this presentation is appreciated in the fact that it shows that the department is striving very hard to execute the African agenda. When you look on page 7, you can see the heads are color flag is all over Africa. I think that's a good development, because we know that 394 is not like that.
Yes.
So it shows that we are putting our priorities in the right place, because the continent is one of the fastest, has got one of the fastest growing economies. Yes. So it's critical that our footprint is there. But what is also very important, Chairperson, is that apart from that, I can see that there are certain areas where the heads of color flag is not shown. For example, in Japan, I think we do have a mention there. Definitely, in Indonesia, we do have together for the oral, well, that just makes the flag to look beautiful. It's not accurate. You said. And then, Chair, I think the only issue of the African agenda, it is highly appreciated. But what is also good with this is that we didn't discard our historical land trading partners like the Americas and the Europe and the European Union. You can still see the strong presence of the Hague kind of flag there. So I think it is good that we don't, as we push our way forward, we don't discard our old friends as if they are also, because we might need them as we move forward. I think on that aspect, I'm very happy with that. But on the issue of transforming of the multilateral institutions. Because I've seen that the department has got only one entity, which is the African Renaissance Fund. So what I requested is that, because we have to pass this budget, if the department by Monday, it can give us the details of all the multilateral institutions in which we pay the fees, how many staff members are there, at what level are they selling, so that we can see whether we're getting good for our money. That one says, I think it must come. That's why I say by Monday. So that before we adopt the report for Parliament, we must have those figures in front of us. So that must also. So that one is not worry about that. And then the other one, Chair, is the issue of the transfer to the African Remittance Fund. It's a disadvantage. Because what you only see is 2014-2016. This thing didn't start there. So we don't know whether this transfer is adequate or not. So I'm worried that I cannot approve something that I do not know. So what I'll suggest again, by Monday, Chair, we have a report of the African Remittance Fund. What project did they do? In which country? And then really, what was there, the output really equal to the input which was made? I think that report, Chair, will also need by Monday, so that at least by Tuesday, the management committee of the PC look at that, and then so that it can be filtered into the final report which must be adopted on Wednesday. I think that's the way we have to go, Chair. And then the other issue, Chair, on the issue of the budget also is an expression of the political issues we have chosen. We know that from the era of President Mandela, Ubuntu was very critical, it was at the center. That's why the COSATU and the civil society movement raised the issue of the conduct of our businesses abroad, in particular in Africa. So I see there's a lot of silence around that. Why that silence? Because really, I think that what our foreign or international relations policy, it must reflect our domestic policy. So I want some sort of a report around that. How are we faring in that field? And then number four, is the issue of, is worrying, when you go through the newspaper, you see that someone who's employed by the department fraudulently and arrogantly flouts the South African law. We know very well that in South Africa, there's a basic conditions of employment test. That means that even if you chase someone from South Africa, you cannot make that person a slave outside. So we do know that in Ireland, the other week, there was such a problem. How serious is that problem within our own nation? Because if those things are occurring, it means that really we are not walking the talk. We are not walking the talk. So our partners are not really going to trust us as we're moving forward. Thank you, Chair. Come in a second.
Thank you, Chair. Some of the clarification I need is probably due to my running in and out, and I'm really sorry the committees are clashing at this time, and I'm hoping somehow it will get sorted out, so I hope I'm not too much of a disturbance. But and I've got a meeting with my party leader at 4 o'clock, so I'll run out and come back again. I couldn't quite see how the overspend is going to be dealt with or covered. So is there a process that will automatically happen on that overspend, or how will the department deal with that? Legislation to give effect to matters pertaining to salaries of the country, and I may have picked up the wrong end of the stick here, but it sounded to me like there may be some solution in terms of legislation. So I'm not quite sure what you were saying around that, but perhaps you can unpack that for me. The ARF, is that what Dr. Zondi was referring to in terms of a new funding mechanism and what's going on there? So I'm just wanting to sort of get a sense, because I see recapitalization of the ARF, but I don't see any mention about the direction that we're heading with that. The review of the missions that was mentioned, and our perhaps being more strategic, obviously was brought up again in terms of Dr. Zondi saying an audit of foreign representation, and do we need all, or should they all be at the level that they're at, and is there any conversation around that, and is there going to be any conversation around that, if that would be helpful. The Blue Region, I haven't paid probably close enough attention, but there was this idea of the opportunities around the oceans being our biggest opportunities, and I'm just wondering how the focus was there, was that reflected in any way in the budgets in terms of that sort of focus. And the other thing, civil society and the strength of countries where civil society is not vulnerable, where there's a stronger relationship between government and civil society, and I'm wondering if it reflects anywhere in the budget that strengthening of those relationships. Thanks.
Unfortunately, we cannot get a briefing or expect to
junior officer lower than a DG to brief us on that matter, because it affects the head of the office, therefore, and an accounting officer. We want the deputy minister or the minister to come and brief us, bring back the report which the minister said at the time she was doing an internal investigation, which I believe that it has been in her desk since January this year. So we want full facts, because what you read here, these figures which are listed there, below the surface, this is where you get the real true story of what is happening, because it's a summarized figure. But on this one, we just need an assistance. Hopefully, if we can be briefed before the budget, failing which some of us are contemplating to take that matter directly to the public project for further investigation.
Yes. Honorable Kenny?
But you can't speak, she's on the floor.
Has made a commitment to the people of South Africa before the legislature we are expected on behalf of the voters to keep watch whether the executive is acting in keeping with what it has promised to do with the resources of the nation. So, for instance, on this issue of the additional funds that are required, we need to have a sense of the difference between what legitimately arises over the medium term period. On the basis of certain projections, commitments are made. But of course, the fluctuations of foreign exchange and all of that will intervene. We need a more or less accurate, when the time comes, we need a more or less accurate indication how much the budgeting has fallen behind as a result of these fluctuations which have been referred to. That's legitimate, that's acceptable. It never is predictable, accurately. But we also need to know where resources may have disappeared as a result of this report that affected the Director General. How much did the activities of individuals affect the capacity of the country to meet its obligations? That kind of difference is very important. Now, we can't just take it whole that it is the fluctuations of expenditure. And I want to support, therefore, the thing I was going to say that please give us that accurate indication how much was either futile and fruitful expenditure or mischief making of one type or the other, how much was genuine results of natural fluctuations of the funding. And I support the thing that on Monday first or something like that, we need to have that indication. You see, monitoring the executive doesn't mean it must always be negative. But it does mean that we must identify what is negative and we must identify what is positive. We must approve what is accurately, correctly done. But we must not miss that which is not and should not have happened. If we keep that, as a legislature, we are not supposed to be just a boys and girls fan club of the executive. We must be fan clubs where it is right, but we must not be fan clubs when it is not accurate. That's the secret of it all. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I want to check on the story on the either the misuse of the money in the African Renaissance Fund, to check with the department whether the money was totally misused, was used for a particular project. If it was used for a particular project, what was that project? And if there were some discrepancies picked by the Auditor General, then what did the department do to remedy the situation as we move forward?
Yeah, I think I want to pronounce from the chair on this matter, because Honorable Olumisa has raised it, now you are raising the same matter. That report is still coming, by the way, it's a bad one. And okay, from here is the strategic plan 14 and 17. Then from there is the ARF. It's going to be more detailed. The issue that Honorable Olumisa and your good self are now raising can be responded to, but Honorable Olumisa has also made a recommendation and we can speak to that recommendation, something else. But I'm just saying, at this stage, the report is still coming with a detail, which may answer or not answer what you are saying. So each department is attacking that one. Now, yeah,
that's one point.
Yeah.
If you could just give to this request, please allow the Deputy Minister to go back to the department, because this presentation of scandal document has got nothing to do with that. We want that report because they know what I'm talking about, so that we read it and understand all of that. Thank you. that to answer any issue about the ARF as an entity, let's wait for the presentation. Then we can match it with discussions, including what Honorable Khatir is saying there. I think we should be agreed to that. But when Honorable Olomisaren says he has read through that document, he doesn't say the things that, or the recommendation that we are saying, it should say or it's not saying now. But that the right benefit is only to your booster and not to the other members of the committee. And the presentation, by the way, must be made to the committee. And it will not subtract the determination or the recommendation that you are making. Only that you have had an advantage, either before or now, to be seized with the matter. And nothing will be subtracted, but the other members still need the same benefit as your booster. Now, I thought that I'll speak to two things. It was on the issue of the money that was spent on Mandela, on the funeral of President Mandela. Whether you have applied and have obtained a condonation from Treasury, because it was unforeseen, unavoidable expenditure. Treasury language. And of course, and whether, well, maybe I'm out of order if I want to ask whether policies is for the same. We're not oversighting policies. Now, the issue of mission, I had thought, and well, you correct me, I had thought that when Deputy Minister made the remark that we are a big global player in a whole range of fronts, whether it's economic agreement or strategic agreement and a whole range of things in all of the branches that you have referred to. That you will need these missions. And the question is whether these missions are actually adequate. My sense is that you wouldn't want to reduce them because it is at a cost. In fact, you would either maintain or increase them depending on the influence you want to have in a particular country or continent or formation or personality. And I'm just saying that the department, the deputy minister must come back to that. I show what you would call in along those things, what the question has been asked. I was also going to ask about the accessibility of building or purchasing, you call them temporaries. Whether, because this is an environment, we've been in this environment many years before 1994, even if our name was apartheid state, but we're still in that environment. And post 94, we're still in that environment. Is it advisable? What is the experience of other countries? Whether you should buy properties there? What happens if you have to serve here? Diplomatic relations with that country? There could be new hostilities emerging. Coup d'état, sell the property or are able to sell the property? What happens? So. If you want to say something about that, and then we'll move to the next item. Thank you very much. Honorable Kota, thank you so much.
Honorable Chairperson, all the members, I'm going to deal with some of the key questions you've raised. My team members will add. I hear what you said, Chairperson, and I'm not trying to Foundation of African Renaissance and International Cooperation Fund, in order to enhance cooperation between the Republic and other countries, in particular African countries, through the promotion of democracy, good governance, the prevention and resolution of conflict, socio-economic development and integration, humanitarian assistance, and human resource development. That is the purpose. I thought it was some corporate shepherd so that we understand what this comes out. Now, I am informed that earlier this year there was a problem that arose within the funds and that somehow the DG was implicated. I do know that there was an investigation. And so, in line with the honorable Lady Khaled and other honorable members, including General Bakker, we will provide the portfolio committee chair with the results of that investigation by way of a local report. That will be done on Monday. Tuesday. All right, well, can we do that by Monday? They need to report. They not only listen to the minister, they have the written reports. So, if you want to get around the written reports, you're going to have a problem with all these people. So, don't try and get around the written reports. It's not going to watch.
Absolutely.
I'm speaking as a former member of parliament and one who chaired the local reports. And pressing reports and entitled to reports. At some stage, the Auditor General will declare himself policy. So there's no point in avoiding that. Just provide them with a written report and a briefing either by myself or the minister. Now,
Monday about that.
Okay.
The issue here is that the report must be written, the report must come. Yeah, so if on Monday you're not ready, it's not, but it must come.
Okay.
But as a final determination.
Could you just want to ask one question? If I hear the Deputy Minister correct, he says that somebody implicated.
Are you sure that at this stage, whatever the report is ready, it is not the civil judgment which is self-judicated?
Then that is what the report will say. And that is what the report will say.
Chair, put your point across. And I think the Deputy Minister was correct in having a time, because on Wednesday, this committee must adopt a report that they need to present to the House, which informs the budget. Now, if we submit a report, Chair, that has got something that will be, because of the ARF is part of our reporting to the House. So if there is something that is still lagging behind in one of the reports that we need to present to the House, we're going to have a problem. So if the report is there, then it should be presented timely before we make our report next week Wednesday. Because next week Wednesday we must adopt a committee report of the budget. So we cannot approve a committee report that is out of date.
Okay, so you are actually amending the
No, I'm supporting what the Deputy Minister was saying in terms of the time frame of presenting the report to the court.
On Monday.
On Monday, yes.
Arab Khader.
Chairperson, let's get your facts straight here and line our task properly. When I requested the report on the African Renaissance Fund, I was not referring to some investigation which was done before. What I was referring to is that with respect to this budget, we are supposed to approve 277 million as a transfer, whereas we are in the dark with the previous 5 years. What has happened? So let us separate the two. The done to the head of department and the projects which were done by the African Renaissance Fund. So by Monday, we cannot take the investigation and attach to that because we don't know that, where it is, what has happened. But for the sake of the, because we've got up to the 11th to adopt a report before Parliament, we have a time frame. So what is critical here is that the projects which were done by the African Renaissance Fund, they must be stated that it is clear that year, so much expenditure was expended on this and that in that in what country. That is that as what the investigation, that's not something separate, of which when the minister, whoever authorized that investigation, when it is ready, it must be provided. But let us not mix the two. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Yeah, Honourable the last one on this matter.
Chairperson, I really would like to support what the Deputy Minister says. We need to be told something about the African National Fund. What information the department has, it will present to us. If it does not have it, it will tell us more. But we cannot act as if we don't have a concern on this matter. That will put us on the clear what follow-up work we are going to do beyond that point will at least be founded on information we shall have been given by the department. Thank you.
Yes, and I want to summarize this matter this way. That what is before us for the purpose of making a recommendation of the budget of this department is 2014 and 15. You see that? So, the issue here is that we'll still have to look at the budget, make recommendations in July. Now, this matter, I would imagine, if I'm correct, belongs to 13 and 14, not 14 and 15. Now, Honorable Olomisa says this matter must come here. Now, Nomeni Makam, whilst that report will still come to us, nothing stops us from continuing next week to make recommendations and proceed with the work before us, which must be concluded by the 11th, must submit the report. So, much I said, it does not mean then that we would not obtain this report. Now, whether the department is able to bring that report on Monday or the other day is a separate matter. And the matter is put it in Monday. Mr. Minister, you're still on the floor.
Thank you, Chairperson. The Honorable Peggy Hadebe is correct when he said with regard to the African Renaissance Fund, the two issues. Because the following is the one. Investigation of the internal policy. The other is past performance information. Now, that information, Honourable Member Chippers, is tabled in Parliament's Directorate of the Report. Now, all of you are new members of the Report, so you don't have that. Before today, I didn't know either. And so I requested the information in anticipation of this question that I have to you. And so I asked my staff here to get me an example. This is last year's one, 2013-14 financial year, annual report of the African Renaissance and International Cooperation Fund. So they are there. If the committee staff is unable to obtain this, I will ensure that my people obtain it, but you need to tell me how far back you want to go. So it's there, and then all the information you requested by way of your questions and comments, you can read there. It set out very clearly all the countries that were helped by this country. Right? Now, Chairperson, too much interference. No, they're not interfering. With regard to, somebody asked about the bill that's going to influence the African Renaissance Fund. I'm informed that there is a disagreement between Zerpo and Shishu, right, with regard to Kokana, the legal act. Treasury is saying, and I understand why, that when Zerpo wants to make use of the funds to deal with a particular situation somewhere in Africa, Treasury must also occur. And I gather from this note that I've got that Zerpo is saying, well, we shouldn't need that. So that's a matter that's within there, right? And that's where we are at the moment. I don't know if you want to add to that. Right. And that, as far as the African American Fund, I hope I can right. Now, the mission, maybe a bit of a difficult thing. I understand what you're saying. You're saying 125 missions, isn't that too much? Aren't there places in this world where we could close the missions down and save a lot of money? Well, I don't know. I've not had time to review that situation. The decision as to where missions are established is a decision of your case. It is not taken by these ladies and gentlemen who are officials. It's not taken by a poor humble destiny, taken by the collective and so I would urge you in your speeches during the budget debate to raise this as a matter of concern and see what comes out of the reply. Personally, I think we're okay. Personally, I think that I don't buy into this idea that South Africa is punching above itself. I've always rejected that. I believe that every single country where we have an embassy and a consulate is justified. And where we have an embassy and more than one consulate, it's also justified. But that's my personal view, okay? And I'm relatively new in this department, so we can take that for what it is. I do know, Chairperson, that regular reviews do occur. But these are not made public. It is something, obviously, that the minister would want to look at and apply her mind to, and then if she feels it's necessary to go to cabinet, if necessary. We must also remember that when missions are established, based on certain criteria, strategic and national issues. So when you want us to close down missions, it's not enough to say to me or to anyone else, we think you should close down that mission. Motivate and tell us why in a particular country or in a particular place where you want us to close down the mission, why you say that it's closed. Because there were very good reasons why that mission was established. And do those reasons no longer exist? If so, I'd like to hear your motivation. Now, foreign currency fluctuations, well, that's a reality. It's a reality that you're not going to run away from. But I hear that honorable members haven't simply thrown a criticism at us. They've tried to put forward some kind of solution. And one of them is that perhaps Treasury should insulate this fund. Will CFO, I don't know whether that's possible, if we can take that up with Treasury, both at your level and our level, and see what Treasury says. They won't shoot us. They will simply tell us either to take a hike or they will consider it. And they said on that, right? Honorable Musami, we'll look at that. Right. Of course, the big question that Treasury will want to know as well their money, because we're going to have to launch them. If you say the insulation will cost us what? I don't even know where to start. How do you calculate the insulation? But financial experts like this gentleman here will have to apply their money. Now, acquisition of property abroad, Chairperson, perhaps I'm saying to other honorable members in providing the answer that I want for you, which is namely, well, do we buy or do we lease? Buying comes with a risk, and that risk is the political situation in that country may change, and we'll be chased out, and we will leave our property behind and be expropriated, and that's money lost. Then there's the question of leasing. Leasing also comes with a risk. And when I was being briefed at head office on Monday, the issue arose. When I was pointed out that in certain countries, you're not leasing from your government counterparts, you're leasing from the private. And the property changes hands mid-term of the lease. Alright? Remember, you're not in South Africa. You're in another country. So your contract may not necessarily hold water at that point. Alright? So then your new landlord will give you an eviction notice. And in that country, it may not be the 3 months that we had in South Africa. So there's your other risk. Alright? And that happened also. Not once, but several times. And again, it's led to unauthorized expenditure and so on. So that has happened. So when you talk about leasing as opposed to purchasing property, just please bear that in mind. That's all I'm asking. Are we bound by the TFMA in expenditure abroad? Most definitely. Most definitely.
The question was how to go around the problems of PSA.
You can't go around. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go around. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't go around. Yes, it would be illegal.
No.
I think you have a lawyer.
No. From line. We don't have the time. We still have two presentations and some members have left. Of course, all of them are welcome on the floor. Gwena is organizing his transport to pick up the ferry on the 8 o'clock. Like we did yesterday.
There was a question about the size of South Africa, flowed from the briefing, and the fact that our country is now suddenly larger. I was told this on Monday in the briefing as well. Apparently, under the ocean, the land doesn't stop like a shark. It extends. You don't see it for that much. Right? Now, South Africa made application through the United Nations relevant stuff. For part of this land that is under the ocean to form part of the South African territory. It's been granted. And as a consequence, South Africa is now the largest country in Africa.
You got on Sudan.
Yes. But there are consequences and implications.
Thank you, Mr. Singh. Thank you, Mr. Singh. Thank you, Mr. Singh. That's what we try to do on the show. I know the right expenditure. which I think we need more clarity. No, I touch on this honorable chair. It's just an opening remark, and we are busy with the preparation of our financial team. We should receive our report on the 1st of July in terms of the process. But having said that, Chair, the unauthorized expenditure, as I indicated, is something that we can able to give a duty which we have provided to Treasury as well as the Treasury. It's not about the spending. But the unauthorized expenditure links directly with the understanding in other programs. Because what happens in the process is that when we go to Treasury, we then receive money on a monthly basis. So it means that if we don't have any money, we can't spend, you know, and we can't go. So we find ourselves that the level of overdraft, we don't have any overdraft facility in the department of money. So we are mindful of that. So we can confirm that all the unauthorized expenditure is possible. As a result of the foreign exchange policy and also the state funeral. So the state funeral was arranged with a planning committee, which were all departments were involved. Unfortunately, based on the legislative requirements, there was no any avenue to provide additional funding after the adjustment process, which is end of October. So the process, we had to facilitate that from the funding, the cash, and Treasury will make a representation on how that money was spent. So we do have the supporting document that we can provide in terms of how the expenditure was monitored, because the study was within the supply chain, process is within the department. So we will be able to give more details when we present our quarterly report as well as the annual report that we need to take before this committee in terms of that process.
Any other honorable chair and honorable members, very good to minister. There was just one question that I thought I was assist with around the number of diplomats that have had disputes with their employees in foreign countries. There are two cases that come to mind, one in Ireland, the second one in Thailand. In both those cases, the facts before us as a department are in the favor of our diplomats. It's just unfortunate that it becomes an employer-to-employee dispute. There are limitations to the extent to which the department can get involved in the public domain by way of explaining the fact. But we are satisfied that our diplomats did not break the law. What we've done with the diplomat in Ireland is that we've since moved her to another mission in Senegal, in fact. The case in Thailand, the domestic worker has been booked a flight. She's getting all her benefits in terms of the law, and she will be coming back home. And in both those cases, our own internal investigations suggest that our diplomats are not at fault in terms of the law in those countries and being here at home. So I thought I must just clarify those two cases.
Thank you very much. We now move to the presentation by the department on the strategic Plan 2014-2017. advised that the chair has missed it. The presentation is about the African Migrant and International Cooperation Fund with a strategic plan thereof.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I've already touched on the objectives of the fund. But just to reiterate very briefly, cooperation between the Republic of South Africa and other countries, in particular African countries, the promotion of democracy and good government, prevention and resolution of conflict, socio-economic development and integration, humanitarian assistance, on page 39, and human resource development. Now, page 40, the minister, in terms of the act, must, in consultation with the minister, establish an advisory committee consisting of the following: the director general or the delegated official of the director general in the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, three officers of the department appointed by the minister of international relations, and two officers of the Department of Finance appointed by the minister of finance. That consists of the advisory committee, and it exists. The advisory committee makes recommendations to the minister of international relations and the minister of finance on the disbursement of funds through loans or other financial assistance. Loans or financial assistance are granted in accordance with an agreement entered into by the country in question and the Minister of International Relations. Assistance granted is subject to such terms and conditions as may be agreed on by that country, the requesting country, and the Minister of International Relations, acting in each case in consultation with the Minister of Finance. So that is the procedure that is followed every time a request is received for financial assistance. On page, well, it's not numbered. Who wants to take it forward? Why? No, I'll do this. Percentage of requests responded to for the quality assurance and review of project proposals. 100% of requests received were responded to timely as per objectives of the project plan. Number of IRS structures and processes convened for advisory committee meetings to consider project proposals and recommendations. Percentage of approved disbursement process, 100% of approved disbursement process timely as per objectives of the project plan. 2014-15, the allocation, NTEF allocation is 277 million rand. 2015-16, increases to 358 million rand. And 2016-17, it is intended to improve to 403 million rand. So, the intention then is when the bill is tabled, that whatever funds are in the African Renaissance Fund, they may be transferred to the new development fund. Am I correct? Right. So, during the last financial year, Chairperson, funding was directed at humanitarian assistance projects, electoral support and election of another missions, capacity building projects, socio-economic development projects. And as I said earlier, Chairperson, I would urge honorable members to get copies of the annual reports emanating from the fund, because that provides you a lot of detail. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, are there any comments, observations, recommendations on this matter? Honorable. Followed by
Selene or to Hatere and then Advocate Mbondwana. Monfame this time sadly.
Fine, fine. I'm fine. I'll catch up. I haven't landed yet. Okay. Wait, call it. Honorable Maela.
Let me
start by welcoming the presentation. I'm on the program performance indicators, especially indicator number 3, on the number of ERF structures and processes present. The target is 4. Now, I want to check what informs this target, because if I look at what the funds are, some of the activities that we do cannot be predicted. You can't predict when they will occur, you can't predict how many will occur. So I'm just worried that if we limit it to 4, it might be a problem. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want clarity on there was an indication that over 500 million was cut short from this fund by cabinet. And out of that 500 million, 100 million was contributed to the AU Commission in a form of a voluntary contribution. Is that the case? And then what happens with the surplus of that amount, and then what happened with that amount that was the 500 million that was taken away from the fund? Thank you, Chair.
So, Chairperson, I'll also follow my colleagues that we appreciate your report. Yeah. But because we are dealing with it, you know, Honorable Deputy Minister, when you said that you wanted the report of all the work done by this fund, it's because from the presentation of the department, you said that there were problems with the issues of implementation policy. So, and then they also alluded to the fact that this is the first MTF allocation. If we knew that if it was the first MTF allocation, it looks like things were not done accordingly before. Hence, you said, so what I was going to say about the report which I requested over the past year, what has happened since 2009 up to 2014, so that we really know what has transpired, because what we knew in this portfolio committee. Number two, Chair, the issue of the utilization of the funds. Chairperson, I understand that the Treasury wants to be involved when coming to the issue of disbursing money abroad. But I think that once the department has an approved budget, they say that in the IRF fund, it is giving 1 billion to the department. The department must be able to extend that without being pulled from behind by the Treasury. Why do I say that, Chair? When we're dealing with the human assistance, something which was done, the President made a commitment in 2010. It was only finalized in 2013. When you look thoroughly, putting a microscope, you can see that the Treasury was, there were a lot of locations which were coming from the side of the Treasury. From the side of the Treasury. I think that once we have approved the budget of the Department, and then the Parliament has approved that budget, the department must be the one which must lead in the expenditure of that. The Treasury can come there as the advisor, not as the people who must provide the final concurrence. I think that one is the problem. I think we have to deal with that as we're moving forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That's a
that exhausts advocate. Yes, I
think he does because he has just given his name. Annual report will make sure that the committee gets those.
SATCOM will take over this year, and when that happens, it is intended that all the irregularities that have arisen since the year 2000 will be resolved in terms of the new legislation. But you will play an important role in that, because my understanding of parliamentary oversight is that the Portfolio Committee on International Relations Chairperson would have had to interrogate this annual report of the UN. I'm not saying they didn't. I'm like you, I'm new. I would need to go to your predecessor and ask them whether they've done that. I'm pretty confident that they have. And if they didn't, they would need to provide good reasons why they didn't. So as part of your responsibility, when this annual report is tabled, I would urge you to interrogate it.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Thank you, Honourable Chair. The 500 million, the exact amount is 540,300,000. So this is the amount that, based on the reduction of the Vietnam, National Treasury made recommendation through the Minister Budget to Committee on Budget, Mid-Combat, to Cabinet. So the 250 million, that was the money that they identified as savings in terms of modified spending requirements. One of the funding requirements was to capacitate the office of the AUC Chairperson in terms of their office, which then the Treasury approved the funding, but the funding was redirected before it arrived in the air. So it was not taken from there in terms of the recapitalization. Was initially earmarked for recapitalization there, but before it arrived, then they had to revise the allocation. That's what happened. So it was not taken from the air. So that is the first point that I want to make. Just to say, if I can allow, just to clarify one area, is that the ARS as a fund, it is not a department. It is basically a fund that is there, which in terms of the approval of the disbursement of the fund, that the two ministers, the Minister of International Relations and Finance, must then compare. This is a project that we want to fund. But inherently, we were dealing with, in terms of the government process, any document that goes to a department, it must go through a political process, which finds that the decisions that are taken from the health level, it takes longer to implement, which then creates problems. And one of the issues was that if we can review the concurrence, which is basically the submission from the department, the fund is under the directorship of the Director General of the Department. Why should then be a process that goes to Treasury? Because when it comes to the reporting at the end of the project, it is only the Department of International Relations and Commerce that report, and Treasury doesn't report. So those are the issues in terms of accountability. To say if one needs the accountability, we then have to provide the necessary tools for the responsibility and accountability, so that we communicate with the delay in decision-making more than to the country. So that is the other way to do
it. Okay, that's the only voluntary AU contribution. Is it 200 or 100 million? The voluntary contribution to the AU commission?
The voluntary contribution is around about 150 for over a 3-year period. It's not 1 year. They need to augment the programs of the AU. That's on the basis of the fact that the member state stages, and if you look at how we structure the government, the France takes the center stage on how we manage projects.
AU Commission. Yeah,
I
remember.
As we conclude,
projects that were established were not always projects on the fund that was given to other countries under the auspices of the ARF. Has the department been able, in some of the countries, been able to send people to make some verification whether that money was used for the purpose for which it was asked? For instance, if it was, there was drought somewhere, or there was hunger somewhere, or somewhere had to build a bridge, or somewhere, whatever that intervention was, and we had to give that treasure. Have we at least in some instances been able to visit that? But I think that limited, of course, by what has earlier on been said, that the oversight model of parliament, members may want to also satisfy themselves at some point. I don't know if that will pan out, whether those projects actually. Then I want to move a recommendation as well.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me highlight that the disbursement for the past 14 years has never been approved. So the issue is that when we disburse the money, if we then give to a particular state, we have our mission. The mission that we prefer, the ambassador, the monitor. So if there's an aid that is delivered, we're only going to have evidence in terms of what is, that is the report that we have in terms of the process. So just to indicate the irregular expenditure that was reported, it was not mainly to say the system is rendered. What basically the process that AG then audited using the PSMA to say if now one of the monitoring tools is deciding of a memorandum of understanding, any disbursement that goes to any other country, like for example, the suit, you then sign a memorandum of understanding. So now the issue now is who's going to deliver that aid? That is where the challenge comes in terms of now, who do you find a service level agreement in terms of how you deliver that, or how you sort and implement it? So those are the issues that were noted, which were subsequently put to make a good mechanism in place to improve our implementation process. But the monetary, the ambassador, where they are located, they deliver. For example, in Cuba, if you want to transfer money, we want you to do that. The project for Cuba, IBT wanted to be an implementing agent. So when they go to, say, they want to transfer function, then because Cuba is not a function, then they said, USA said they will also put IBT as a function. Which now there will be no longer in the business.
Point made. Yeah, honorable members, as we conclude, can I hear you saying that you expressed support for the budget allocated for the department in the different programs or whatever you want to say, so that we are able to facilitate a draft report for next week for consideration by your good self and further improvement and refinement. Members are aware that all committees have been instructed to be able to be done by the 9th. We'll adopt the report and then we'll prepare another report that we will go to the ETCs, the extended public committees, and then by the 11th everything must be done. There are two dates, it's your 11th, it's your 9th, 11th, and 15th, and then the 22nd when we have a deep talk. The management of the parliament has actually deliberately taken away or reduced your constituency work for purposes of allowing the TCs to focus on the budget of department because we are in the election year. This challenge we have now, time pressure, will not repeat it next itself next year. It will repeat itself in 2019.
Honorable Hadere? Thank you, Chairperson. In the current environment where there is a directive from the Treasury that each and every department must cut the cost and then streamline the budget to the bone, and then with what this department is having, I think it must be really be appreciated, because when you go to the other department, it was literally the shaving off, not of the head, but of the head somewhere. But you can see here that there's progression, that more heads are going to be acquired, which is pocket. It means that our mandate of making a better South Africa, creating a better South Africa, better Africa and a better world, is still on course. So I think that I'll be speaking on behalf of 99% of my colleagues here in saying that we is a thumbs up for this budget. Let's take it. It's not perfect. The conditions are not perfect. But really, I think that they can be able to achieve what they've achieved. That's why that when you carry the South African passport internationally, you are respected. So I think they've done a good job. Thank you.
Look for the half sentence advocate. I'm trying to hear the other half. I'm not trying to come around by the Yes, thumbs up for it. As I say, I have said there's some problem whether it's much less than what it's supposed to be. But I hope that they will be able to manage with this one. And good luck. You are supported. Thank you very much, honourable members. With that, are there any announcements? Yeah, one announcement. Yeah. Thank you very much, sir. Next week, Wednesday, there will be a committee meeting to consider and adopt the draft report on the budget board. It's going to be at 9:30. The venue is M514 here in this room. I remember the meeting is
adjourned. Thank you.
Now you see we have a different committee now.
Yeah, hey, we need to explain. That we have done past year before. We're doing it again.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.